Well, I've got 2 o'clock, so I'm going to call the board meeting to order. And if everybody could please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
Flag of the United States of America, the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do the roll call for us, please, Tracy.
Trustee Davis.
Present.
Trustee Doherty. Here. Trustee Dye may not make the meeting in time. Trustee Freckleton.
Here.
Trustee Holness.
Here.
Trustee Howard.
Here.
Trustee Lloyd is absent today. Trustee Lubai.
Here.
Great, thank you. And is there any public participation?
No requests.
Great, thank you. And before I formally start the consent agenda and the action items, I wanted to say publicly at the start of the board meeting, thanks to Len and Karen in the back there. This is both of their last board meetings. And, you know, I know for me personally as the chair of the board, I spend a lot of time with them. They always keep me organized. They make sure I sign everything. They make sure I know where I'm supposed to be and what time, and great people stepping in to take their roles, and we're happy for that. But as a board, I wanted to say thanks to them. So, and with that, we will move to the consent agenda. Is there anything on the consent agenda that somebody would like to pull for discussion? Hearing none, if I could have a motion.
So moved. Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Consent agenda passes. And with that, Dr. Labasso, I'll turn it over to you.
Great. Thank you. Well, we have a special guest with us today. Last week, I was in Orlando, and we had a Florida College System legislative reception, and Representative Webster Barnaby was there. Representative Barnaby has been a great supporter of the college, and we were talking, and he wanted to come here to say a few words, and also if you recall, he sponsored a few of our projects, which were funded, and so he's got a little surprise for us with that, and again, he's been a great supporter, and we look forward to continuing to work with him in the future for a lot of the new initiatives on the horizon. So with that, Representative Barnaby, come on up.
First of all, I want to say good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is a great honor for me to be here as a parent of two alumni of Daytona State College. I want to thank you all. This is a world-class educational institution. I'm so proud that my son went on from here to the United States Naval Academy in Annapolis and is now serving our nation as an intelligence officer. And that my daughter went on to be the salutatorian for her high school and received a scholarship to the University of Florida School of Architecture. And she's building skyscrapers in Orlando. So it's not too shabby. The kudos to College President Labasso and Mr. Chairman Howard and all the faculty and staff for the tremendous educational experience I can attest to. I've lived on 3 continents. I'm an ex-Englishman. I'm from Birmingham, England, a Brummie by birth, an American by the grace of God. And I'm honored to serve in the legislative body as your state representative. And I was very, very pleased to bring a total of $6,660,618 back to this college. That's out of appropriations that I brought back this year as a freshman, of over $14.7 million to Volusia County. And the breakdown for Daytona State College is the sensitive, compartmented infrastructure facility and equipment for Daytona and cybersecurity programs House Bill 3273, totaling $500,000. And, of course, Daytona State College Law Enforcement Firearms Training Center at the D-Land campus, H. Bill 3271, totaled $6,160,618 for a total, and a check I'd like to present this afternoon, of $6,660,000, effective 1st of July this year, signed into law by our governor, Ron DeSantis. Well done, Daytona State College. I can promise you all at this board meeting, this is just the beginning. Governor DeSantis was, of course, my congressman before he was the governor, and everything in Tallahassee ascends on relationships. If you have a relationship with someone, you can get stuff done. You can move the needle. And one of the things I understand as a lawmaker, it's not just passing laws, but it's building relationships. And who doesn't like to speak to an Englishman?
Thank you so very, very much. We do have some great projects to actually build off of this law enforcement training center. We're going to try to enhance that at the Delane. So we're giving you some more information for you to carry up to Tallahassee on our behalf. So,
absolutely.
On behalf of the trustees and Dr. Howard, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Let me just say, I would be remiss if I didn't say this. My wife is a retired military police drill instructor, and she did 6 years in the Texas National Guard, and she's all excited about law enforcement, and as I am. We're so proud to defend our boys in blue, our men and women who defend us every day, and this training facility is going to be a lighthouse for other law enforcement agencies in our region. Thank you again, Dr. LaVosa.
Thank you.
Barnaby, I'll take a special picture.
That's right. Bob Davis is special.
He is special.
Yeah, we got him off the special bus, but he's here. I've known Bob a while. He's a good man.
Whoa.
Yes, who are?
Yeah.
All right, MP. All right. No time for you. Get over here, Bob.
Okay, I'll get over here.
Bring it in. Come on. Come on, friends. That's right. Nobody's got cooties. Everybody's good.
All right. Great to have Representative Barnaby here, and again, you know, getting to watch him work up in Tallahassee and continue the passing on the good work we're doing here at Daytona State College. So again, thank you so very much. I just want as far as the rest of my update, you know, it's been a very productive month since last board meeting. In your packet, I want to just also recognize a gift we're getting from Gary Libby of $100,000, which in turn our proposal will be there to the naming right for the patio on the north side of the Student Center. As you'll see in the gift, although Gary has supported us for years in the arts, he wants this particular gift to help support students in our education program. So to help bring help our teachers, our future teachers for Volusia and Flagler County. So I wanted just to thank Gary publicly, and we'll have some sort of event in the coming months when we can get the sign and everything made up for him. While we're here, you know, I also want to shout out to Louis Mercer. Louis, stand up for a minute, Louis. Let's give Louis a round of applause. Louis is retiring. I want to, you know, publicly thank Louis. You know, the last, you know, couple years with the pandemic and, you know, and hurricane stuff that we dealt with the past. He's been a steady rock for the institution. He led our law enforcement academy for 19 years prior. And, you know, so he's done a great job for the College. So, Louis, thank you. And the gentleman to his left there, Paul, stand up. Paul will be our new director of campus safety. Paul Barnett, he was currently serving as our associate director and will now be the director of campus safety. So,
where are all the nurses going?
I know. I'm they're all leaving me. But so thank you. Thank you. Other things, we kicked off our master planning process. We do that every 5 years, and we're actually on our year six. With the pandemic, we put it off 1 year, and it's just great to see all the things that we plotted out 5 or 6 years ago have come to fruition. So it's exciting, and so we will be having a meeting with the board to get input on the master plan as we move forward. So we'll be scheduling that in the coming months. And also we had our second signing event for the FAME. FAME was another program that we were able to get some equipment from the legislature for. And we had 14 students and 12 businesses sign up. So we're excited. It's a growth from last time. And again, thank you, Sarah, for, you know, being one of the leads to, you know, have us learn more about the FAME program. The FAME program, if you don't recall, is it was modeled after Toyota, and education training apprenticeship type program, which, you know, took a good, you know, amount of partnership between both business and industry and the college, where we had to really revamp our curriculum so that it works, where students are on campus 2 days a week, and then they're working for 3 days a week, so doing a full 40 hours. And the employers seem to be really excited about it, and we're graduating students with an AS degree in engineering tech. So you know, it's a great example of a different way of doing what we've been doing for many years, and I think it's working. So I wanted to highlight that. And we next week we'll be moving in about 30 students. Is a little soft opening for our brand new residence hall. Charisse Ramos and Elijah, wave your hand there. They've been working diligently to get ready to have that. We have our RAs are hired. I was part of a welcome orientation for the new RAs, so we're excited, and we are 100% full with the residence hall with a very long waiting list. So, so next week, Wednesday, I believe.
Yes.
Wednesday, 30 students are going to be moving in. And they'll occupy the second floor because the first floor, if you recall, and that came to fruition, we have 7 NASCAR interns living in there on the first floor. And I think one more coming later on this summer. So excited about that. And also with the new asset of the residence hall, we have 2 overnight camps scheduled. Our volleyball coach organized an overnight camp for 3 nights. So it'll be, I think, middle school and high school kids coming to spend 3 nights in July. And also the men's soccer team is going to have, I think, 22 kids for a 3-night overnight camp this summer. So exciting to already have that interest so high. And that concludes my update. And I will now move to the my next item. And as we have spoken in our one-on-ones, this is a proposal for a salary increase for employees. Without too much detail, it's a 2-4% range, depending on pay level, with additional longevity for career employees, as well as in this coming after this will be the salary administration plan. Which we're also will have some significant changes to the entry-level pay. So so we thank you for this consideration. And, again, thank you to the legislature and the governor who gave us the money to make this happen. The bulk of the change is going into our entry-level employees. well-deserved, hardworking. And with that, I will ask for...
Yeah, I think we can take a joint. I have a motion.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? Lloyd?
Mr. President, I just want to say that once I went through all of this with you, it's a remarkable document that was put together by you and your staff. And I couldn't be more pleased as what we're doing for our folks who work here at Daytona State.
Second.
It is fantastic. And you explained it fully and appropriately. And it is, I would say, overdue, but it's now here for us to get it to our folks that work for us. Again, thank you and your staff that knocked us out.
Thank you.
Any other questions or discussion?
Just to build on what Lloyd was just talking about, what I really liked about it too, Mr. President, and that was, you looked at the longevity of certain employees, so that sometimes when you make these kind of changes, the employees that have been with you longer, you know, sometimes get a little bit of the so-called short end of the stick. That wasn't the case here. You made sure that we made some adjustments and recognized those people as well. So thank you.
Thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. And again, on behalf of the board, to all the employees, as everybody's already pointed out, everybody here kept us going through the pandemic, through crisis, through everything we've gone through, and we appreciate all the hard work.
Thank you. And we took those together.
We did.
Okay. Just one more thing, Mr. President, just to make sure that everybody understands it, that I guess your human services folks would be able to explain it one-on-one, mm-hmm. and I guess, you know, the rest of the upper echelons will be able to explain to all the folks so they understand the details that have gone in and to where they will be progressing to.
Yes, yeah, and I had met with all the constituent heads individually to kind of, you know, give them a deeper dive into the document so that they understand the significance of the changes into the salary plan in particular, and then each employee is going to get an individual memo outlining exactly how that change affects them.
Okay, and there's one other thing in the consent agenda, the approval of travel, and I know we have one person going to Mexico.
Yes,
and I'll just reiterate what they should do is go to the State Department's website and check to see what is happening in that part of Mexico, mm-hmm. and if there are any updates, and if they can, once they get there, to check in with either the consulate or the embassy to make sure that they are in the country so that we know they're safe.
Will do. Thank you.
Anything else?
That concludes my report.
With that, we will turn it over to General Counsel, and I will recuse myself from this vote. As you well know, I'm on the board of the Brown Riverfront Esplanade Foundation.
Thank you and good afternoon. The first agreement is an addendum one to the main real estate property license agreement. I think the college needs to thank Mr. Dr. Howard and the entire foundation. For those who don't know, the News Journal Center sits right in the middle of this new park, Esplanade, and that they have done all the landscaping, re-landscaped everything for the college, including gates and fences, and so it's benefited the college in probably around $750,000. So for that, we thank you. The main part of this addendum will be to provide maintenance services for 3 years. The college will pay $19,000 per year, and the contractor for the foundation will provide those maintenance services, including irrigation lines and other matters regarding landscaping. So with that, we would request approval of this addendum.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Second agreement is just a one-word change to the master rental agreement, so we will be renting the facility back and forth with the foundation, with the News Journal Center. It's essentially just they wanted to add one word, and that's on page 357 of the board agenda. Would we request approval?
So moved.
Second.
And just to document it, Betty, would you take the vote as the vice chair?
You've had the motion. All in favor, Madam Sign of aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion passes.
Great. Thank you, Betty. That will move on to facilities.
Good afternoon. Okay, for our first item today, we have the approval of our capital improvement program. This goes every year to the state. It's an annual requirement, and these are our asks for the next coming years. Our number one ask this year is some additional pieces to that law enforcement piece that we just got our funding for, so we're going to be looking for a driving pad, some PT track, and a tactical training pavilion. And our second ask this year is for some improvements to our Palm Coast Amphitheater and the covered area that's out there. So those are our one and twos, and so we'll need your approval to move that forward to the state.
Have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion?
One comment I like to make, too, on the Palm Coast piece that Tom was explaining to me, and I think this is real key. For those of you that don't drive by this campus every day, I have a good understanding of this. That is the way you have to go from our buildings logistically. It's not like here where you can just travel down a road and not have to get out onto International Speedway or out on the Clyde Morris. There you've got to go out and around probably close to a mile. And while that may not sound like a long trip, it's a very roundabout way. And this actually, I think, improves our campus safety in some regards, in terms of the ability of the students to travel over to Building 100 if they're taking classes, especially for our nursing program. So
I got lost there many times.
Doing that. Yeah, it's real easy to get lost.
One part of a piece of that is to create a two-way road connecting Building 1 to 2 and 3, because right now you can only go one way. So this will allow it to travel back and forth without having to go on the route that Gary just explained. So
great. So we have a motion and a second. With that, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you. Okay, our next item, again, goes back to our big check that we just got. We're so ready for that we have the architect already selected to start on the firing range. So this would be approval to enter into a contract with the architect to begin design services for that project.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Okay, our third one is another architect's proposal to enter into a contract with them. This is for our multi-purpose field that would be on the east side of White Street.
Have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Okay, and then every year I come to you with our SREF, which is our safety requirements. We have inspections every year through the state on our safety on all of our campuses. So we're bringing that to you for your review and approval. I'm happy to announce this is the best year ever.
This is also referred to the Lloyd Freckleton report.
Yeah.
Trusty Freckleton report.
So if you look at our past years there, we've been working really hard to try to bring these numbers down. This is our lowest year ever, and we're still trying to get to that zero all the way across. It's difficult with the amount of campuses and buildings that we have. but my facility staff has worked really hard to get those numbers down, so I'm very proud of them and where we are with that. But we do need approval of our SREC.
Done good.
Thank you.
I have a motion.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Okay, so this one is for our budget approval for building number 2, which you have been you had the presentation on the design for that one, and we'll be going to the groundbreaking at our next meeting in August. So this is for our estimated budget for construction. We're just beginning the bidding process now. We're looking forward to seeing what the real numbers are. We'll be coming back to you with those as we get them. But we do need approval for the total project budget.
After working 5-7 years on the Deltona project, it is my honor to make this motion with Barnaby's backup.
Do I have a second? Questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you very much. That's all I have for
today. Thank you. Moving on to the finance update, Marty.
Hey, good afternoon. June is always a heavy month for finance, so we'll dive right into my financial report for the period ending May 31st, 2022. At this point in time, we're now 11/12 through the fiscal year. That puts us right around 92%. So as we go through the revenue slide and the expenses, you'll see how they line up. So budgeted revenue budget versus actual, you can see that we've now collected $26.2 million, or 95% of our tuition and fee revenue budget, $48.2 million, or 91% of our state revenues, $6.2 million, or 97% of our other revenues, $1.9 million, or 100% of our board-approved transfers. So to date, through May 31st, we've now collected $82.5 million, or 93% of our total $88.6 million operational budget. So it's got us right on track at this point in time of the fiscal year. Okay, taking a look at the expense side, doing a similar analysis, we've now expended 80% of our personnel budget, which is $53.9 million. We've obligated $16.1 million of our current expense budget. Of that, $14.3 million is actual expenditures, and the other $1.8 million is in, tied to encumbrances with open purchase orders. We've obligated $1.9 million, or 91% of our capital outlay budget. Of that, $1.1 million is expenditures and another $805,000 encumbered. So to date, through May 31st, we've now obligated $71.9 million, or 81% of our operational budget. If you peel away the encumbrances, we're left with $69.3 million of actual expenditures to date, or 78% of the budget. And just real quick, I'd like to note, you know, these numbers, you see the 80%, 85%, we're running far below the point in the fiscal year that we're at. So that tells us that we should close out the year in very good shape, coming in under budget from an expense standpoint. And that just takes a lot of work all the way down to every department in this college looking at their budget monitoring, not spending if you don't need to spend, you know, just all the little things that trickle down, and especially during the course of a pandemic years that we're closely monitoring our budgets, and the departments do a great job around the college. So we appreciate that very much. All right, taking a look, this slide I present each time. This is our beginning carry forward funds from that rolled over from last year in our Fund 1 operating account. So we started the year with $14.9 million. Of that, $5.2 million is our 5% state required reserve. $2.4 million is the board designated reserves. Unallocated reserves of just over $7 million. $205,000 from the rollover of encumbrances from the prior year. And projected fund balance per this report is just over $20 million. Okay, this slide shows the budget to actual year over year. So as you can see, we've collected 93% of our revenue budget versus last year. At the same point in time, we were at 90% of the revenue budget. So we're consistent year to year. This slide shows our three-year analysis of student tuition and fees. You can see we've made up a little ground during the course of the years. Not completely there, but overall, we've collected $26.1 million of our overall budget. That puts us down about 3% compared to prior year at the same point in time. So we have 1 month to go. It's a slower month during the summer, but we hope to pick up a little bit more there as early signs of enrollment in the summer are trending positive. So we hope to pick up a little bit more this fiscal year and then heading into the fall. Okay, similar chart showing the expense side. This is a comparison of our budget to actual year over year as well. You can see on the personnel side, exactly even. We expended 80% of our personnel budget versus 80% in the prior year. 85% of our current expense budget versus 86% in the prior year. And then 91% of our capital outlay budget versus 84% at the same time last year. Very consistent. Okay, moving into our capital outlay budget, Fund 7. This slide shows our major funding sources and the activity throughout the fiscal year through May 31st. A summary of that activity is as follows. We started the year with $45.4 million fund balance, received an additional $6 million to date. We've now expended and encumbered $9.1 million of that, $8.4 million is expended, and another $736,000 is still encumbered. That leaves us with a fund balance as of May 31st of $42.3 million. And of that, committed to date is $17.2 million committed to projects, and another $25.1 million that's uncommitted. We currently still have seven active projects in progress, what we consider major projects over $100,000 each budget-wise, and it's the multipurpose field, Daytona campus infrastructure improvements, master site plan, IT Cisco phone replacements, security camera DVR replacements, the Deltona classroom and lab, and the ERP. A couple will be rolling off here in June. And the two that rolled off this fiscal year are as follows. High voltage upgrade project, I brought that, I think the last meeting, it had wrapped up in April with a savings of about $105,000 of what was budgeted. And then the Flagler Palm Coast Building 1 remodel and parking lot, that also came in at a savings. We had budgeted a higher number and it came in under budget by $379,000. So both came in under budget, which is a good thing. Okay, that concludes the financial report for May. And next, we're moving on to our informational item. This is all payments in the month of May that exceeded $50,000 individually. We present this to the board for information, and nothing unusual on the list. Okay, my next item is our uncollectible accounts receivable. If you recall, each June we bring a similar board memo to you for approval. This is looking back to 3 years in the past, so this covers the 2018-19 academic year. You can see the amount we're asking for write-off is $571,276.66. This is actually a decrease of 7% from the prior year's write-off amount, so we've been trending in the right direction over the course of several years now. Just to put it in perspective, I know $571,000 is obviously a big number, but when you compare it to the student fee revenues generated in that year of $33.3 million, it's 1.72% of that balance. And just to note, hey, we've taken all collection measures at this point. They've been sent to collection. We've called. We've done everything we can to collect these debts. So at this point, we deem them uncollectible and are asking for permission to write them off.
May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second. Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
And one thing I wanted to add, and it's in the memo, it's not to say that we won't collect additional funds on these old debts. You can see in this current fiscal year, we actually collected $75,393 on old debts that were already written off. That happens when a student comes back to school and is either trying to sign up for classes or might need a transcript. We have a hold on their records, and they'll have to pay before they can go any further. So that was a good collection on old debts. All right. The next one is also a memo you've become familiar with over the years. With the lack of PICO funding for general renovation and remodeling and maintenance repair money, we have put this plan in place to fund out of our Fund 7 reserves more general REN-REM and maintenance repair type projects out of our board designated reserve pot. So we're asking the board for permission to do the same to the tune of $3 million. You can see the recommendation below is split out $1.5 million for REN-REM, just over $1 million for maintenance repair. And then we also cover the facilities planning staff salaries under this funding source. You will see later in the budget presentation that we did well statewide with our critical deferred maintenance. So you'll see a large number that we received. I just want to point out that deferred maintenance funding was for, it came through the federal stimulus dollars, the HERF money, and trickled down through the state. And we can only use that for certain types of projects, improving air quality, water quality, safety, things of that nature. This money here is a little bit, we use it outside of that, those types of projects. It's a little more flexible, gives the college some room to do some things that we can't do with the critical deferred maintenance money.
A motion?
So moved.
Move approval.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.
Okay. The next one is our budget transfer request. This is a very similar to what we did last year. If you recall, these transfer requests are asking for the current fiscal year. As we close out this fiscal year, these will be as of June 30th. And similar approach to last year, we asked the board to authorize us up to certain amounts rather than locking us into a certain dollar amount and maybe then having us come back later. So our request here is a up to transfer of $10 million from Fund 1 to Fund 7 and an up to transfer from Fund 1 to Fund 3 Auxiliary of $2
million. So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you. And just to add to that, the reason, a little more explanation is as we wind down the year and close out the books, we have a series of accounting adjustments and cleanup that we do. It can sway our balance in our operating account a bit. So we like to get a little further along in the closing process before we nail down the numbers that we feel comfortable transferring out of Fund 1 and into the other funds. Okay, the next one is also a memo that we bring each year for our direct support organizations. This is solely for the Daytona State College Housing Corporation. Per Florida Statutes 1004.7, the board is authorized to permit the use of property facilities and personal services for any college and DSO. Pursuant to the annual recertification agreement between the DSC Housing Corp and the college, all material expenditure shall be reimbursed by the college. So we bring this again. This went to the Housing Corporation Board a month or two back and was approved. We now bring it to this board for ratification. And you can there were supporting documents behind it to show the personnel that is used by both the college and Housing Corporation, and then also the office space of the Housing Corp personnel.
So moved.
Second.
questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Okay, last but certainly not least is the fiscal year 2022-23 annual budget. You will have a copy of the same exact slideshow in your board packets, as you've noticed, and we'll jump right in. So this kind of just discusses our budget planning and design principles. We like to keep the process a very fair and equitable process among all departments of the institution. It follows in line with our college's strategic planning process. We you know, it's a collaborative effort, very transparent. We appreciate all the input of the departments. And, you know, we give them a little bit of a budget assumptions up front and then kind of let them run with their requests and enter them into our system that captures that data. And we then comb it over once we collect all the data. And it's worked very well over the years. Worked well again this year. And we'll move on. Next slide shows our description of our fund, our nine fund types. We're required to bring before the board our Fund 1 operating budget and our Fund 7 capital projects budget, the same two that I always highlight each financial report. So again, we're going to focus on those two particular funds, although each of the funds is budgeted to some extent. Okay. Our budget priorities, pretty similar to last year's slide, I believe, and I'll bring you down to the bottom of it. This is where we designate certain items to use our fund balance reserves. It also becomes part of our annual spending plan. You'll recall last year was the first year the state required all the Florida College System institutions to come up with a reserve spending plan and report it each year. So in a couple months, we'll have that due again. These items will be part of that bigger list of spending plan items. Okay. Moving into this year, what was different? What wasn't different is our tuition and fees. We will be keeping them flat for now the 12th year in a row to support the governor's ongoing initiative. To that tune, our enrollment and tuition and fee revenue projection is going to hold to what we budgeted this year. That number was $27.4 million approximately. So we're going to keep that flat. The next item, back to the tuition and fee, you know, again, we have the HERF stimulus funds for one more year, right? It got extended through June 30th of 2023. So to the extent, if we were not to meet the $27.4 million next year, we were able to recoup that lost revenue through that mechanism, as we're doing currently. A new allocation for all institutions was the nursing pipeline funding. That was a $40 million overall allocation to the Florida College System. Of that, we landed $1.9 million, which was a very nice allocation compared to some of our other schools. Some were even bigger than us. We fared very well. And that's credit to that program getting ahead of the game a little bit, what we did in Flagler. Just kudos to that department and that program. The next item is our special project funding. We've heard it a couple of times now, advanced manufacturing and FAME. We got the $315,000 for that program equipment. Next item down is our student incentive funding. Those two items added together puts us ahead about $100,000 compared to what we received this current year. So there was an uptick there as well. The next two, I wish our representative was here, not that I planned it, but side by side are the two we got the check for. Law Enforcement Training Center, DeLand Campus for $6.1 million. That'll be a Fund 7 project, capital project. Cybersecurity Program, Facility and Equipment, $500,000, also a Fund 7 capital project. And then, if you recall last year, we got a Deltona appropriation of about $3.8 million that came through the federal stimulus funds, trickled through the state, started at $3.8 million, and then they came back and reduced anyone that got that funding by about 18%. For us, that amounted to $704,000. We'll be getting that back as well as everyone else that was trimmed at 18%. So that'll make us whole on last year's allocation. And then we did get the TV station funding again, and that typically runs in a 320,000 neighborhood. Okay, similar to tuition, we are not increasing any of our other student user fees this year. So this group of fees will remain flat, same as we're charging currently. These are anything outside of your typical lab fees. Lab fees, I think we will have some changes, and Dr. Locklear will be going over those a little bit later. They're a pass-through to our students, and they don't exceed the cost of the item. So if the price of a widget goes up by X dollars, we're going to pass that same cost on to the student. So we'll have some increases, some decreases, and some that stayed the same as far as lab fees goes. These are our current lower division tuition and fee rates. No change from the current year, so essentially the same slide as we did a year ago. Lower division, and here's the upper division, in-state and out-of-state fee rates, tuition and fee rates. This is kind of a reiteration of the fees I just went over and showed you. It adds in the laboratory fees I also mentioned. In this slide, we just show the range, the minimum $2 up to the maximum. And again, we'll cover that a little bit more later. Okay, the student enrollment slide shows our planned credit hours by discipline. So we show A&P, baccalaureate, PSAV on down the line. You can see it shows the planned hours and then the in-state tuition rate, do the math, and that's what we project by discipline. And then along the bottom, the big ticket items are the $19.5 million of in-state fees, out-of-state fees of about $2.6 million, and then all other fees amount to about $5.2 million. That gets us to that $27.4 million that I talked about earlier, same number we budgeted this year. Okay, moving to our projected rollover for the current year. Again, this is something that I start in early June, trying to take a stab at where we might land when the year closes out. This was prepared June 9th, and you can see at the bottom here, I'm projecting about a $14 million rollover. As we've discussed in some of our meetings, the number is a little larger this year than it typically would be. Reason being is the Florida retirement system as a whole did very well from an investment standpoint. The performance was tremendous in fiscal year 2021. To give you some perspective, the overall net pension liability statewide was $43.3 billion as of June 30th, 2020. Over 1 year's time, that liability came down to $7.5 billion. So it's a substantial decrease. And what that does is we record our pension liability based on those numbers they provide on the Florida Retirement System website. So we go find our college, it trickles down. And for perspective, our pension liability last year for FRS was just below $36 million. And for this year, it's about $6.5 million. So again, when the performance of the market is that good, I think it earned 29% over the course of a year. It's going to have this big fluctuation that we have to then record through our income statement, and it can sway the meter quite significantly either way, almost creating a non-cash type fund balance that we have to account for. We already know what 2022 is doing as we wind up this fiscal year, so we're going to see that pendulum swing a bit the other direction, and we'll have to plan for a sizable pension expense next year. So I would say of that $14 million, about $7.5 million was attributable to the pension expense swing, and $6.5 million truly more of a cash-type real fund balance reserve, a rollover. This slide shows the comparison of our state appropriations from our current fiscal year to what we're receiving for the 22-23 budget year. We had a very good year. Certainly no complaints here. The best year I've seen in the 14 years I've been here. $56.9 million in this coming year versus $52.8 million last year. That's a $4.1 million increase. And you can see the pieces of the pie that make up certainly the nursing pipeline. New funding helped to the tune of $1.9 million. Lottery funds came in at about $1.7 million more, several hundred thousand in the general appropriation. And then, like I said, about $100,000 in student incentive funds gets you to that $4.1 million. So we're very pleased, and it really enabled us to do what Dr. Labasso went over with the salary plan adjustments and raises and so forth. So the timing couldn't have been any better. Okay. This shows the overall budget, not just state appropriations. Our complete budgeted amount, which is $90,558,210. On the left side shows the revenue, all the different pieces of the pie there for the revenues. And then on the right is our expense side. So about 18.9 million for current expenses, about $1.5 million for capital and personnel at about just over 70 million. Of course, personnel is the area that went up the most due to our salary plan adjustments and raises. As a point of reference, this current year we had about 67.5 million budgeted for that same category. Okay, that covers the Fund 1 operating budget. I'll move over to our capital outlay budget in Fund 7. And starting the year with an estimated fund balance of 59 million. That would include any transfers that I spoke about earlier, that memo, whether it's 10 million, 8 million, wherever we land, we put an amount in there. I think I used 8 million to estimate. And then the current year revenues, just as we did well in Fund 1, we did very well in our Fund 7 capital type projects and funding. From the top, the capital improvement fees is our student fee, so that's about 2.2 million. CO and DS, 50,000 thereabouts. Deferred maintenance program, this is the one that I spoke to when I talked about the deferred maintenance memo. This is the money coming through the federal government, passed through the state, and down to us. Now, the good thing is we don't have to use it all in 1 year. It's gonna essentially follow the same rules as the PICO appropriations do, in that we have 31 months to encumber the funds at the state level. And then once we encumber those funds, we have 3 years or 36 months to expend the funds. So you know, our facilities planning staff, Chris and his team, put together a solid list of projects. We went over them as a group in senior staff with Dr. Labasso, and this is the list of projects that went forward to the state. They required us to give them a tally of projects that meet that $13.3 million number, and we did just that. Many of them are listed here. I won't go one by one, but they're certainly in your board packets. So all in, you know, again, I didn't mention the $703,000 I mentioned earlier. That's getting that 18% back for Deltona, the $6.1 million law enforcement training center, and then the $500,000 cybersecurity. So all in, we received new money of $23 million, just over $23 million, which is a very strong year. On the expense side, we're projected to spend about $15.6 million on projects, and then the $984,000 is our debt service payment on our existing SunTrust loans. So altogether, we got about a $16.6 million expense budget. This slide just dices up the Fund 7 capital capital budget in a different manner. It shows it by funding source. First column's local funds, next one is other state funding. Next column, capital outlay and debt service, and then the last is the PICO projects and funding. But same exact revenue and expense numbers, just shown in a different manner. This slide I'm going to kind of breeze over. It's our transfers, but it's shown in a lot easier manner on the very next slide here. And every year you'll recall that we ask the board for the ability to transfer funds from one fund to another fund. We're following that practice again this year. The first one is the allocation we send to our Fund 2 grants fund from Fund 1, $450,000. TV station operating support, $400,000 from Fund 1 to Fund 2 where it's housed. Athletic scholarships for $728,350. This goes from our auxiliary funds to our scholarship fund in Fund 5. Marketing and hospitality, $675,000 is actually from our auxiliary fund back into Fund 1, as we can't use state dollars for those purposes. And then the bottom two are our full debt service payment. The one we just saw for $984,000 was coming out of Fund 7. The $325,000 comes out of Fund 3. So together they make our full annual payment. And I'll be glad to report that the SunTrust loans that we got nearly 17 years ago will be paid off in January of 2026. So we'll soon have a day to celebrate and get those liabilities off our books. All right, that concludes the budget presentation, unless we have any questions or comments.
I believe we need to approve this, right? So if I could have a...
So moved, and I say fantastic, hardworking job for you and the president and all the administrators. Great, great job. I've sat through many of them, and this one was great.
Second?
Second.
Second. Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so this first one, we set out to acquire a custom relationship management system, also known as a CRM, to better understand our student interactions and create a stronger, more personalized relationship with our prospective students, and really currently enrolled students as well. We were looking for a cohesive platform that could span student life cycle from prospect to graduation. We worked with three companies to determine which had the best student life cycle solution and have narrowed it down to one, which is Liaison International. Excuse me. Liaison has four components to its solution. An online admissions application, which is going to replace or would replace our older software, and it's kind of antiquated. The pandemic kind of showed us some weaknesses that we didn't realize we even had, and obviously turning more online content kind of hit us and caught us off guard. The CRM module itself for prospect and current student management, an enrollment marketing component to help personalize the enrollment experience, and a predictive analytics component to replace our current Civitas system, so that these four modules create one cohesive solution spanning the student life cycle from prospect to graduation. So I guess you could call it like a single plane or a single pane of glass where you have everything in one place as opposed to having systems here and there jumping from one to the other. So we are recommending that we continue negotiations and approve the selection of and authorize the president to execute agreements with Liaison International Incorporated.
Motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
So continuing with the pandemic discussion, we, you know, the pandemic changed a lot of technologies and requirements. I mean, for example, things that we used to look at as a curiosity, like virtual meetings, overnight turned it into basically mainstay across the board. And so our technologies have changed. And, you know, to try and keep up with them has been a bit of a difficulty, especially when you're kind of not allowed to go out to conferences during the pandemic. So we really didn't have and haven't had enough contact with the outside world. However, we know that there are companies that do these research for you. And so with the HRF allocation and our continued need to find solutions to these issues, we're looking kind of for a shortcut and a support mechanism. So we started looking into research companies, specifically in the field of technology, to help us in assessing market trends, strategies, and facilitate ongoing technology needs for the college. Again, like a consulting firm in some ways, specifically in technology. We did something similar like this back in 2014 when we purchased the ERP. Back then it was Gartner. Some of you may be familiar with the name. To help us with contract reviews and give us kind of an insight in the top echelons of that area of expertise. And a lot of times you can have discussions with these individuals who've actually worked with many other IT departments throughout the country, and they kind of give you insights that you would not know without doing lots of research yourself. In reviewing the company Infotech Research, we've determined that they provide the right services needed, such as specialized technology analysts, white papers, primers on industry solutions, and contract reviews that span many technology fields, such as network servers, cloud solutions, CRMs, and ERPs, just to name a few. We are recommending that we're recommending the approval of the Infotech Research Group contract to provide these professional services.
Motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Betty, did I hear you on that one? Betty? Trustee Holness?
Betty, are you there?
We still have a majority. All those opposed? Motion passes. I just reflected we didn't hear her vote.
This concludes my items.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've heard it every other time, so I was just keeping an eye on it.
Yep.
They always put you last. We're going to shake it up next meeting.
Oh, boy. Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm bringing for your approval the lab fee recommendations for the 2022-23 academic year. While most lab fees did not change, we do carefully internally audit them every year, and we did have some increases, few deletions for courses that were going away, a few decreases, and then some increases, mostly because of the expenses associated with things like tools, gases, chemicals, and batteries, to name a few. So we will see those reflected mostly in our workforce programs. I'd be glad to answer any questions on specific ones.
I could have a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? I will say it's pretty amazing with inflation. Really, that's only about, 15% or so of the lab fees that increase. I would say That's pretty darn good. So.
It's not that bad when you think of the total number, right?
Right. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
And again, did not hear Betty's. And with that, constituent heads.
Hello, I'm sorry, got disconnected.
Say aye.
All righty. We will kick off our constituent heads with our SGA president, Adrian Tolles Williams. Also now officially interning at Brown & Brown.
Sure am. Good afternoon, everyone. I don't have too long of a report for you today, more of a preview for what to expect from SGA from the coming year. But before I start, I just wanted to take a second and say how much that you all as a board and as professionals within the college have inspired me personally. Before I started this journey, I had inconsistent housing situations, and I had no idea what I was going to do with my future. But coming to all of these meetings and seeing the lengths to which you go to support the students here is inspirational. I always try to emulate that in my leadership styles with SGA. And I just wanted to lead with a thank you. For SGA, we have been doing some biweekly summer planning meetings just to try and get prepared for the next year. The summer planning isn't something that was previously done before, so this is very new. So I just wanted today to give you a little overview of what our board looks like as of right now for the next year, some of our professional development objectives, and then some of our general goals for projects for the upcoming year. So this is, as of right now, the executive board of the Student Government Association for the 2022-2023 school year. We have had a few other students who have expressed interest, but hasn't had consistent communication over the summer, but we're hoping that we'll be able to get in contact with a few more of those students and get them on campus and participating, whether that be at this main campus or at any of the virtual ones, as we are continuing our hybrid meeting model. But as you can see, we do have a diverse group of students and a lot of positions filled that we hadn't previously had filled before. So I am excited to see what these officers create of those positions and how I can translate their accomplishments into my reports to you all. In terms of professional development goals, they're pretty much the same in trying to encourage the development of leadership among our members. It's always the goal of SGA not only to act as leaders and representatives of the student body, but to make sure that we ourselves are looking inward and reflecting and growing and trying to always be looking for the next step and looking for where we're going to go next from here. So of course, communication, leadership, organization, all of those are our mainstays, and I am excited to show you how we are going to be developing those over the year. In terms of our projects, part of what we're doing for the summer is trying to get a snapshot of what our entire 2022-2023 year will look like, from our budgeting to our master calendar. So as one of our objectives, we are looking to do more community engagement and fundraising in addition to our typical student engagement activities. So these are just a few of the examples that we brainstormed at our last meeting earlier this week. It includes doing fundraisers and charity drives around our community to help displaced children, with UNICEF doing fundraisers with the Humane Society, or even giving middle school, high school students a chance to experience the Daytona State College experience by shadowing us for a day and really giving them a perspective into all the amazing things that you are doing here at the college. In terms of student engagement, we're looking to do more stuff that we can include on our regional campuses, whether that be movie nights in Flagler or a movie marathon across all of our campuses, scavenger hunts and field days, all the fun stuff. And then in fundraising, just trying to make sure we are developing those entrepreneurial skills and not just giving fun activities, but learning how to ask for money in a way that makes people want to give it. We want to try and connect with some more local restaurants, do some student versus faculty events for the students, having bake sales, etc. And these are not set in stone just yet. These are just like a preview to get your mind working so we can surprise you later on with what we really come up with. But for right now, that is the gist of what the SGA has going on. As we continue our summer planning, I will be able to bring you more, especially at our meeting in August, which I am looking forward to, as well as with the residence hall as we welcome more students on campus and we're working with student life to try and connect with all of those students. So really brief report today, and it's a great day to be a Falcon. So.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. And for Administrators Council, we have Alicia Alexandra.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. First, I want to open up with a grievance because I did not want to go after Adrian. Everyone knows this, but she always does a great job. So, so thank you, Adrian, for kind of pushing me to want to step it up. But anyway, I have a small report from the Administrators Council. I just wanted to start off by thanking everyone. This is my first year as the president for the Admin Council, and it's been a ride for me. Started out as president, thought everything was going normal, then I got pregnant, had a baby, and now I am sleep deprived. So if you see me and I'm just kind of wavering in the wind, just kind of gently nudge me on the shoulder, I'll wake up. But just to give a recap of what the council's done this year, we really wanted to work on being more visible in the community, on campus, and also focus on ourselves. A lot of times we are a resource for our team, and for our students. And so I want to try to do things to also re-energize and serve ourselves. So starting in October, we had our 5K, which we already, Neil Clemens, we're already working on planning that for next year. We raised just over $2,400 for that, which raised our scholarship fund with the foundation up to just over, just a little bit over $10,400. So I said that to be a reminder for anyone who knows any students who needs assistance with tuition, that we do have a scholarship fund from the Admin Council. And this April and March and May, I came back from maternity leave, and the council was still busy. Thank you to Frank Mercer and all the members who supported him during that time. And we had the Home Brings Hope Community Service Project, which was held at the last weekend in April. It's just a few members who came out to help with that community service project. And then also May, and we just wrapped up at the end of May, we had a greeting card signing project for the Council of Aging to send out cards to their Meals on Wheels clients. So we had 500 cards printed. We had 450 signed. And the remaining 50 will get signed at the Career Employees Association's Ice Cream Social. So that's a shout out to them. That's happening on July 21st. So we'll have all 500 cards signed, and we're going to start the process all over again in the fall to hopefully deliver some more cards around the holidays time, the holidays, which is around November, December. And so the council just had its last meeting in June, on June 15th. And we will be picking back up on August 3rd to get started for the year. Just again, want to thank everyone for all their support. And we look forward to next year continuing what we're doing with the community service projects, but then also try to work on getting some more tools and trainings for our administrators so that we can be even more great and better than what we are now to serve our teams and our students. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alicia. And we have John Penny for the Career Employees Association.
Good afternoon. First, I want to thank Dr. Labasso and his team for the salary plan that you put together. It was amazing, very equitable, and I'm very pleased with what you guys were able to do. Thank you. We're happy to be informing you that we're able to attend the new employee orientations and introduce our career employees to the association. And as Alicia said, we have our ice cream social coming up on the 14th. It will be at our satellite campuses, and on the 21st, it will be here at Daytona Beach and at the News Journal Center. We wanted to separate it up so that we could have a presence at each location. And we're excited to share a table with them for signing their cards. I think it's a great partnership there. And I want to also encourage all of you, whichever campus you're close to on the 14th or the 21st, please stop by and get your treats. Our next meeting will be July the 12th at 2 p.m. And I've had some feedback that career employees still don't feel like they're allowed to attend the meetings. So I just want to encourage everybody to encourage the career employees around you that it is okay for them to attend the meetings, and that you'll work with them to make that happen. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, John.
Thank you. Tom, that might be something you could send an email out and help rally the troops.
We will. We will definitely do that. John and I did speak about that last week. We changed it up from the order so she's not last. Billy Joe Dunaway, professional counselor. All right, Paul.
Because my report is brief, of course. So professional council will have its last meeting of the semester tomorrow. We've completed our election cycle, so we have a full complement of officers going into the fall session, which is really exciting for us. We're going to continue working on a virtual meeting schedule with in-person events to supplement that, because it's easier for professionals to get those meetings over that lunchtime online while they can still be in their offices. So we're looking forward to having an open house during our fall planning session, and so people can meet the officers during that time. And that's it from me. Great. Short and sweet.
Thank you.
And
last but not least, Faculty Senate Paul Capps.
Thank you. No quiz today. All right. Before I start, I'd like to echo John's comment and the comments of board members Luby and Freckleton. Thank you for all the incredible hard work that went into the salary plan. I'd like to thank the board members for not just approving the salary plan, but enthusiastically approving the salary plan. So thank you all. Today, this month's spotlight faculty member is Dr. Lakeisha Holmes. And by way of introduction, I'm just going to read a brief excerpt from the Dr. Labasso's letter where she was highlighted as our employee of the month a couple weeks ago. So besides teaching courses in college math, statistics, and pre-calculus, Dr. Holmes goes above and beyond to help fellow colleagues and students. She serves as co-principal investigator for the S-STARS STEM Scholarship Grant and in this role helps develop faculty mentoring initiatives, assists in the recruitment, selection, and training of faculty mentors, and serves as a faculty mentor for students. Her mentees have participated in STEM-related summer internships and undergraduate research programs at a number of large universities. She's also deeply invested in the well-being and mental health of students and employees alike. Lakeisha's determination to help, support, and connect with one another during the pandemic resulted in the Call to Care initiative and the QPR, Question, Persuade, Refer training sessions, as well as speaking to students via clubs and Project Speak about mental health awareness. I present to you Dr. Lakeisha Holmes.
Thank you so much, and thank you, Dr. Labasso, and Paul and Dr. Liz Barnes for having me again. I really didn't know why he wanted me to come, and I was like, can you tell me precisely why I need to be there? But when he said Call to Care, I was compelled to come. And as much as we can talk about it, Call to Care was just a simple initiative that started amongst some faculty during the pandemic. More so just wanting to make sure that our faculty, as they are caring for our students, you know, I know the term first responders was used a lot, right? And we immediately thought of our medical teams and thank God for them and who were taking care of our us and our families and our communities. But in that classroom, that teacher is the frontline person. And we receive all of our students. Sometimes my favorite phrase is TMI, just, you know, you're telling me too much. But we get all of their stuff. We get all of their challenges, everything that they're dealing with, both academically as well as in their personal lives. And so just during that time, a lot of faculty were feeling very overwhelmed. We've talked about technology and all the things that were happening and how quickly we had to make those adjustments and get our courses transitioned. So it was a simple call, an email saying, hey, how are you doing? And that turned into multiple academic symposium sessions, and we just presented last Friday at the Staff Education Days talking about wellness-focused leadership. So the message simply was, put your mask on first and take care of yourself and make sure that you are checking in not only with yourself but with your neighbor. I think we can all attest that there was a paradigm shift during the pandemic, and just saying that, you know, empty, good morning, how are you? Pause long enough so that person can actually give you a true response to that and make sure that they are okay. And then I just, nothing with Call to Care was solely me. I just picked up the phone, so I want to thank Dr. Liz Barnes. I want to thank Paul Capps. We were able to do a 9-week initiative of where, once we started talking about the Call to Care initiative, people came out of the woodworks with their stories. So faculty wanted to share their stories. So we did a 9-week series where people wrote articles, made videos, and just wanted to provide that content to let people know that they matter. And that the, as our student motto, that you belong here, we wanted our faculty and staff to know that we appreciated them and that we wanted them to have that sense of belonging as well. So thank you again to my colleagues, best place to work on the planet. I love these people. And I know a lot of people can't say that about where they work. Thank you, Dr. Locklear. Dr. Alicia Ellert was also instrumental in that. And John Brady. I thought he would be here, Dr. John Brady. Several faculty and myself included lost students this past year to suicide. So we really were like, hey, Tom, John, we need help. Get us some training, get us some more tools. And he did just that. So I know in February, 24 faculty were trained with the QPR curriculum. And then there was another training in April. And I don't know the total number of faculty that were there. But again, outstanding personnel. We ask, we get it. So thank you so much for this chance to come and talk about Call to Care.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you. Before I conclude, if I may, just point out that you have a two manuals, the Sunshine Manual and the District Board of Trustees Resource Manual. So if you would take that home with you, and we will give you a quiz on the – no, I'm kidding, but Paul will give the quiz. Paul will give the quiz, and just a reminder to take that with you. And that concludes our report.
Thank you. Thanks to all the reports. So I know we've gone a bit long, so I'll be really brief. But I think that last talk, that kind of sums up Daytona State. So just the fact that, you know, somebody took the initiative to think about how everybody might be affected in a different way and let them know they care. So as a board member, great to hear things like that. I think it reaffirms why we're here and that there are a lot of great people working here that we're just happy to be a small part of supporting. So appreciate that sharing. And with that, I will turn it over to Vice Chair Holness.
I just want to echo Dr. Howard's comments. Karen and Lynn, we are truly going to miss you. And Louie, I hope that you enjoy your retirement. It's been a pleasure to work with the three of you. The professionalism that you brought, and you're truly going to be missed. To think about that we're going into 12 years of not increasing tuition, that says so much about Dr. Lovasco and the staff, which also kind of goes to why we were able to do the salary increase plan, because we asked you to look back to help us to save money, to make the reductions, and everyone worked hard to keep us within budget. And Marty, please extend our compliments to your staff. Again, you did a wonderful job on the annual budget report. As I told you, it's easy to follow and greatly appreciate it. I just hope everyone knows how much we appreciate the staff and recognize all the your challenges and the sacrifices that you make. We're just blessed to have you as part of our faculty. Have a great day.
Thank you, Betty. Gary?
Yes. Marty, I just wanted to know all those millions of dollars that were going back and forth on the retirement. Is that because of the Mercers retiring, or is that? Okay. And Karen, we're going to miss you too. Just want to wish them the very best and all that, and who knows, you know, in terms of the future and all that. But thank you for everything that you do for us. I think every board member here knows Lynn is constantly keeping us out of trouble. And Louis, thank you for all your work on the Palm Coast Songwriters Festival too, because you were a big part of that too. So, we may retain you though. So, Marty and the team, great job again on the budget, and just the depth of the details, and all the department heads really, and the way you contribute to that, and then ultimately, you know, Tom's leadership as well. So, thank you for that. And just finally, just want to wish everybody a very happy 4th of July coming up as we celebrate our nation's anniversary And let's see, we're fast approaching 250 years now, so not far off from that. And when I began my career in banking, it was 1976. So this takes me back here, and hard to believe we're at 246 years and counting. So thank you.
Lloyd?
You know, I just want to say maybe I'm getting older when these folks are retiring. You know, I've been here a long time then, you know, but I wish them well. The part of the agenda that I really like is the constituents' heads report, because it tells you, it gives you the flavor of what's happening in the college. And kudos to all of them. They come out and they let you know what's going on and what they're doing and what they will be doing. And to the staff that put together that package, the salary plan and the raises, you know, it was done perfectly. And I just hope that everyone understands where they're coming from and where they're going as far as the salary plan, and that there will always be someone to explain it to them so they don't think that they're getting hosed. I'm just so blessed to be and honored to be serving on this board. And I'll always look forward to coming to these meetings, talking and sharing. I know the pandemic sort of put a little stuff on us from the athletics, because, you know, I like to come to the soccer games and the basketball games, and I look forward to doing it in the future, because it gives you a flavor of what's happening on this wonderful campus. And all I can say is keep up the good work. You're all great. And I am really, really honored to be on this board. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lloyd. Sarah?
Usually on my drive home, I reflect, why didn't I say this? Why didn't I say that? So I know I'm going to leave something out, and most of you have already said what I would like to say. One of the big things that I deal with on a regular basis is when you give raises, there's always someone who feels left out, or it wasn't fair. But I was so glad to see that there's people who've been committed to this college for so many years that they weren't left out, and that they should be able to feel like they were recognized even above and beyond because they weren't left out. And we went back to the longevity. So that makes me feel really good to know that we took care of the people that have been committed for so many years, and the rest of the staff who, without them, we all wouldn't be sitting here. Thank you to the state for the FAME money. Like you said, that's my passion. I'm watching these kids go through, and my Tyler that comes to work every day on time, it has changed his life. And I got to hug his mom, and she said she would have never dreamt that her son would have come out of his shell the way he has and the change that he's made over the last 6 months. So, as a mom, that made me feel really, really good. Glad there's people in housing and in the dorms. That's exciting because I'm ready for dorm number two. everybody have a great summer. And sure, I left something out, but I'll think about it on my way home.
Call me.
Bob.
Three quick things. Number one, I'm elated, overjoyed, and thankful for the Deltona campus, the largest city in Volusia County with 100,000 people. And as an educational institute, that will bring in lots and lots of students. We all don't realize how big and how large Deltona is, 100,000 people. Second, go Brooklyn Cyclones, Met affiliate. And I'd like to cheer on our new guy, the Cincinnati Red #1 fan. Congratulations, and we are here to support you. but I don't know about Cincinnati.
Great. Thank you. With that, the meeting will be adjourned, and look forward to seeing everybody in Deltona in August.
So, Lynn, when you get bored, let me be your first call.